Hello and welcome to your GCSE Geography Revision podcast on river landscapes. I'm really glad you're here because this topic is one of the most rewarding in the whole specification. Once you understand how rivers work, the marks just flow. In today's episode, we're going to cover everything you need to know about physical processes in river landscapes. We'll go through the core concepts, tackle the exam tips, do a quickfire quiz, and wrap up with a summary you can use right before your exam. So let's dive in. First things first, why do rivers matter? Well, rivers shape the landscape around us. The valleys, waterfalls, and floodplains you see in the UK have all been carved and built by the same set of physical processes over thousands of years. And examiners absolutely love this topic because it lets them test both your knowledge and your ability to explain processes step by step. Now, let's start with the big picture. Rivers do three main things. They erode, they transport, and they deposit. These three processes happen all along the river, but the balance between them changes as you move from the upper course, up in the mountains, down to the lower course near the sea. Let's talk about erosion first, because this is where candidates often pick up or lose easy marks. There are four types of erosion, and you need to know all four. The first is hydraulic action. This is the sheer force of water hitting the riverbed and banks. The water compresses air into cracks in the rock, and when that pressure releases, it's like a tiny explosion. It breaks the rock apart. Think of it as the river punching the rock. The second is abrasion, sometimes called corrasion. This is where the river uses its load, the rocks and sediment it's carrying, as sandpaper, scraping and grinding away at the bed and banks. This is the most powerful erosive process in most rivers. Third is attrition. This is where the rocks being carried by the river collide with each other and break into smaller, more rounded pieces. So as you move downstream, the sediment gets smaller and rounder. That's attrition at work. And fourth is solution, also called corrosion. This is a chemical process where slightly acidic river water dissolves soluble rocks like limestone. You'll see this especially in areas with chalk or limestone geology. A great memory hook for the four types of erosion is have a tasty snack. H for hydraulic action, A for abrasion, T for attrition, S for solution. Have a tasty snack. Keep that in your head. Now, let's move on to transportation, how the river moves its load. Again, there are four types and you need to know them all. Traction is where the largest boulders and rocks are rolled along the riverbed. Picture a massive boulder being slowly pushed downstream. Saltation is where smaller pebbles bounce along the bed in a hopping motion. They get picked up, carried a short distance, then dropped, then picked up again. Suspension is where fine particles like silt and clay are carried within the water itself. You can actually see this when river water looks brown and murky after heavy rain. And solution, again, is where dissolved minerals are carried invisibly in the water. A memory hook for transport, the snail slowly swims. T for traction, S for saltation, S for suspension, S for solution. The snail slowly swims. Now, weathering and mass movement also play a role in shaping river valleys, and examiners do credit these. Mechanical weathering includes freeze-thaw action. Water gets into cracks in rock, freezes, expands, and breaks the rock apart. Chemical weathering includes carbonation, where rainwater reacts with carbon dioxide to form carbonic acid, which dissolves limestone. And biological weathering is where plant roots grow into cracks and force them apart. Mass movement includes processes like sliding, where material moves rapidly downslope, and slumping, where saturated material collapses in a rotational movement. Both of these contribute material to the river, increasing its load.
Right, so now we've covered the processes, let's look at how they create different landscapes along the river's course. And this is where it gets really visual. I want you to picture a river starting high up in the mountains and travelling all the way to the sea. In the upper course, the gradient is steep, the channel is narrow and shallow, and the river has lots of energy. Erosion dominates here, specifically vertical erosion, which cuts downwards into the rock. This creates V-shaped valleys and interlocking spurs. Interlocking spurs are the ridges of land that jut out alternately from each side of the valley. The river winds around them because it doesn't yet have enough energy to cut through them. You might also find waterfalls and gorges in the upper course. Let me explain how a waterfall forms, because this is a classic exam question. A waterfall forms where a river flows over a band of hard, resistant rock, like limestone, that overlies softer rock, like shale. The softer rock is eroded more quickly by hydraulic action and abrasion, undercutting the hard rock cap above. Eventually, the overhang of hard rock becomes unsupported and collapses. The waterfall retreats upstream, leaving a gorge, a steep-sided valley, downstream. A brilliant UK example is High Force Waterfall on the River Tees in County Durham. It's about 21 metres high and formed where the River Tees flows over the Wynn Sill, a band of hard dolerite rock. Moving into the middle course, the gradient becomes gentler, the channel widens, and the river starts to swing from side to side, forming meanders. In a meander, the fastest flow is on the outside of the bend. This causes lateral erosion, undercutting the bank to form a river cliff. On the inside of the bend, the flow is slowest, so deposition occurs, building up a gentle slope called a point bar or slip-off slope. Over time, meanders become more and more exaggerated. The neck of the meander, the narrow strip of land between the two bends, gets narrower and narrower. Eventually, during a flood, the river cuts through the neck, taking the shortest route. The old meander loop gets cut off by deposition at both ends, forming an oxbow lake. Over time, the oxbow lake dries up and becomes a meander scar. In the lower course, the gradient is very gentle. The channel is wide and deep, and the river carries huge amounts of fine sediment. Deposition dominates here. The main landforms are floodplains and levees. A floodplain is the wide, flat area of land either side of the river in the lower course. It's built up over thousands of years by repeated flooding. Each time the river floods, it deposits a thin layer of alluvium, fertile silt, across the floodplain. Levees are natural embankments along the river's banks. When the river floods, it loses velocity as it spreads out, so it deposits its coarsest sediment first, right next to the channel. Over many flood events, these deposits build up into raised banks called levees. The River Mississippi in the USA has some of the most famous natural levees in the world, some over 6 metres high. Now, the influence of UK weather and climate on rivers is really important. After heavy rainfall or prolonged storms, discharge, the volume of water flowing through the river, increases rapidly. This is shown on a storm hydrograph. The lag time is the difference between peak rainfall and peak discharge. A shorter lag time means the river responds quickly to rainfall. This is typical of urban areas where impermeable surfaces like roads and pavements prevent infiltration and cause rapid surface runoff. A longer lag time is typical of rural areas with permeable soils and vegetation. Droughts, on the other hand, reduce discharge significantly. In the UK, the summer of 2022 saw record low river levels, with the River Thames reaching its lowest recorded levels in some areas. Let me give you a named UK river landscape case study, because examiners will specifically ask for one. The River Tees in northeast England is an excellent example. It rises on Cross Fell in the Pennines at over 800 metres above sea level and flows 137 kilometres to the North Sea at Tees Mouth. In its upper course, you have High Force Waterfall and the dramatic V-shaped valley carved through the hard Wynn Sill. In its middle course, meanders develop across the Vale of York. In its lower course, the Tees estuary has been heavily modified by industry. The Teesside industrial area includes steelwork and timber.
Now, let's talk about human impacts and management, because this is a really common extended writing topic. Human activities can significantly increase the risk of flooding. Urbanisation replaces permeable surfaces with impermeable ones, roads, car parks, rooftops, so rainwater can't soak into the ground. Instead, it flows rapidly into drains and then into rivers, increasing discharge and reducing lag time. Agriculture can also increase runoff if fields are compacted by heavy machinery or if hedgerows are removed. Deforestation reduces interception and transpiration, so more water reaches the river. When it comes to flood management, you need to know the difference between hard engineering and soft engineering. Hard engineering involves building physical structures to control the river. Examples include dams and reservoirs, which store water and regulate its release. Channelization,
straightening and deepening the river channel to increase its capacity and speed up flow, and flood embankments, artificial levees built from concrete or earth. Hard engineering is often expensive, can look unnatural, and may just move the flood problem downstream. Soft engineering works with natural processes rather than against them. Examples include floodplain zoning, preventing building on floodplains so that when flooding occurs, less damage is done. Washlands, allowing low-value land to flood deliberately, acting as a natural sponge. And afforestation, planting trees to increase interception and slow runoff. Soft engineering is generally cheaper, more sustainable, and better for biodiversity, but it may not provide as much immediate protection. A great evaluation point. The Jubilee River in Berkshire is a hard engineering flood relief channel built in 2002 at a cost of £110 million. It reduced flooding in Maidenhead and Windsor, but was criticised for increasing flood risk downstream in Eton and Datchet. This shows how hard engineering can have unintended consequences. Right, now let's get to the exam tips. This is where I can really help you pick up marks. Tip 1. Always use annotated diagrams. If a question asks you to explain the formation of a waterfall or an oxbow lake, draw a diagram and label it. Examiners award credit for accurate annotated diagrams. They can save you time and earn marks simultaneously. Tip 2. Use geographical terminology precisely. Don't say the river wears away the rock. Say hydraulic action and abrasion cause vertical erosion, undercutting the hard rock cap. Precise terminology signals to the examiner that you understand the process. Tip 3. Link processes to locations. Don't just say erosion happens. Say in the upper course, where the gradient is steep and the channel is narrow, vertical erosion dominates. Always connect the process to where it happens and why. Tip 4. For evaluation questions, anything asking you to assess or evaluate, you must reach a judgment. Don't just list advantages and disadvantages. Say which is more important and why. Common mistakes to avoid. First, confusing hydraulic action with abrasion. Remember, hydraulic action is the force of the water itself. Abrasion is the river using its load as a tool. Second, saying the river gets faster downstream without explaining why. Link it to reduced friction as the channel becomes wider and deeper. Third, failing to use a named case study when the question asks you for one. This is a guaranteed way to lose marks. Now, quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a moment to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What are the 4 types of river erosion? Long pause, hydraulic action, abrasion, attrition, and solution. Remember, have a tasty snack. Question 2. What landform is created when a waterfall retreats upstream? Long pause, a gorge. Question 3. On which side of a meander does erosion occur? Long pause, the outside of the bend, where velocity is fastest, forming a river cliff. Question 4. What is the difference between a levee and a floodplain? Long pause. A levee is a raised embankment along the riverbank formed by deposition of coarse sediment during flooding. A floodplain is the wide, flat area on either side of the river, built up by repeated flooding and alluvial deposition. Question 5. Name one hard and one soft engineering flood management strategy. Long pause. A dam or channelization. Soft, floodplain zoning or afforestation. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant. You're in great shape. If you missed some, go back and review those sections. Right. Let's wrap up with a quick summary. River landscapes are shaped by erosion, transport, and deposition. In the upper course, vertical erosion creates V-shaped valleys, interlocking spurs, waterfalls, and gorges. In the middle course, lateral erosion creates meanders, river cliffs, and point bars, and over time, oxbow lakes. In the lower course, deposition creates floodplains and levees. Human activities like urbanization increase flood risk, and management strategies range from hard engineering like dams and channelization to soft engineering like floodplain zoning and washlands. Always use named examples. High force on the River Tees is a brilliant one for waterfalls and gorges. You've got this. Go and smash that exam.